Napoleonic era. Napoleon in exile, 1815 to 1821. Overseers and rules. In the castle fortress at Jamestown, Admiral Cockburn created a web to keep the French exiles under control. Four men would legislate, if you will, Napoleon's fate. You have Colonel Wilkes, and then you have three members of the East India Company: Colonel Skelton, William Doveton, and Robert Leach. These men laid down the rules that transformed St. Helena into a prison and a rock into a fortress. All the rules from England had to be turned into proclamations on the island, and then the inhabitants and the French exiles informed and monitored. While Napoleon was whiling away the boredom of the first months in exile by playing with children and dwelling on the past, Admiral Cockburn, in the silence of his study, was putting the final touches on the regulations. The instructions from London were explicit to Admiral Cockburn. First of all, he is a Knight Commander of Bath. Second, a veteran of the Battle of Cape St. Vincent and the American Revolution. He hoped to profit from his zeal and punctiliousness by giving complete satisfaction to the British Prime Minister and Secretary of State for the colonies. Cockburn left not a single detail to chance, and his sailor's eye would keep a sharp lookout for problems from any quarter. Colonel Wilkes still held the title of governor, but was bound hand to foot by the instructions from the East India Company. Quote, as the officer destined to be the new governor of St. Helena is not yet arrived from the continent, and it is judged expedient to convey Bonaparte to the island without delay, Rear Admiral Sir George Cockburn, who commanded the squadron appointed to guard him there, is invested by His Majesty's government with the temporary care and custody of Napoleon, and the whole responsibility of the service is proper that he should, for the time, direct the measures which he may deem necessary, and you are hereby ordered to execute these measures upon his requisition and responsibility, at least until the new governor arrives. Now, all security measures were planned by Admiral Cockburn and Wilkes and other members of the council, whereby they merely had to give them simply legal force by converting them into proclamations. So, quote, the military disposition allotted to guard Napoleon must be left to the governor being instructed to attend to the wishes of the admiral in the instances hereafter to be mentioned. The general must always be attended by an officer appointed by the admiral or a governor, as the case may be. If the general, Napoleon, be permitted to move beyond the boundaries where the sentries are placed, the officer should be attended by one orderly, at least. In the event of ships arriving, so long as they continue in the sight, the general must be confined within the boundary where the sentries shall be placed. He must, during that interval, be prohibited from all intercourse and communication with the inhabitants. They who accompany him to St. Helena must be subject at this period to the same regulations. They reside with him, and it is left to the discretion of the admiral in the first instance and the new governor afterwards to establish such regulations with respect to them at other times as may appear expedient. So far Napoleon has had, you know, kind of a good time. It doesn't seem terrible, but now they're going to start ratcheting the screws down. So if a ship comes in the Jamestown, they have to stay put. Of course, they are just terrified that somebody's going to land and move him off the island, which is why there's literally a flotilla of ships constantly sailing around the island. The division of power between Cockburn and Wilkes is curious. It would appear that the decision to make neither of the men completely subordinate to the other was made to keep the situation indefinite and equivocal, which happens to be a favorite procedure in British diplomacy at this time. This way, the two officers had to share the responsibility with one nudging the other whenever vigilance failed. But the British government expected its subordinates to set about their task with a will. Cockburn and Wilkes were supported by Colonel Bingham, the garrison commander, who had 50 officers and 700 East India Company troops, plus 8 companies of British regulars and an artillery detachment from Admiral Cockburn's convoy. While a vigilant guard was to be established over the prisoners, the exiles, the aspect of St. Helena was transformed by the arrival of the 1,100 soldiers and the ship's crews. Red tunics and sailors in blue jackets colored the island's landscape, but pickets, sentinels on the ridges and at crossroads would act as reminders that this was not just a military review. Well, going back to the instructions, Napoleon must be given to understand that in the event of his attempting to escape, he will be afterwards subject to close custody, and that those who go out with him also understand that. If they shall be detected in contriving means for his escape, they will be separated from him and placed in close custody. All letters addressed to him or his attendants must first be delivered to either the admiral or to the governor, as the case may be, who will read them before they are delivered to the persons to whom they are addressed. All letters written by the general or his attendants must be subject to the same regulation. No letter which has not been transmitted to St. Helena by the Secretary of State shall be delivered to the general, if it be written by any person not resident on the island. The general must be given clearly to understand that the governor and the admiral are strictly instructed to forward to His Majesty's government any wish or representation which he may think proper to make, that the paper on which such application or representation may be written must be left open for their joint inspection, in order that in transmitting it, they may be enabled to accompany it with such observation as they may think expedient. Upon the arrival of the new governor, the admiral must be considered as entirely responsible for the security of Bonaparte's person, and His Majesty's government entertains no doubt of the disposition of the actual governor to concert with the admiral for this purpose. So they're going to read his mail coming and going, and everybody else's mail coming and going. And if it's going out and they're making a request for something or they're complaining about something, then the governor and or the admiral will then be able to write something to defend themselves. So it's going to get ugly. I mean, there is a battle, shall we say, that goes on between Napoleon and Sir Hudson Lowe for a very long period of time. But at least Europe could enjoy the return to peace. Cockburn and Wilkes were paving the way for Sir Hudson Lowe, who would be one of the most famous goalers in history. Now, the sources for this, and I've changed them around a little bit. I'm still using Napoleon's St. Helena by Martineau, The Memoirs of St. Helena by Las Casas, Cachier de St. Helena by General Bertrand, which has been translated into English, St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin, and the Journal of St. Helena by General Gogard. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, History According to Bob, or SummaHistorica.com, and check out the CDs and everything else that we have. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.